Let me read you the first 10 verses of Numbers, chapter 10. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee 2 trumpets of silver, of beaten work shalt thou make them, and thou shalt use them for the calling of the congregation and for the journeying of the camp. And when they shall blow them, all the congregation shall gather themselves unto thee at the door of the tent of meeting. And if they blow but one, then the princes, the heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. And when ye blow an alarm, the camp that be on the east side shall take their journey. And when ye blow an alarm, the second time the camp that lie on the south side shall take their journey. They shall blow an alarm for their journey. But when the assembly is to be gathered together, ye shall blow, but ye shall not sound an alarm. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpet, and they shall be to you for a statute forever throughout your generation. And when you go to war in your land against the adversary that oppresseth you, then ye shall sound an alarm with the trumpet, and ye shall be remembered before the Lord your God, and ye shall be saved from your enemy. Also, in the day of your gladness, and in your set feast, and in the beginning of your month, ye shall blow the trumpet over your burnt offering, and over the sacrifices of your peace offering, and they shall be to you for a memorial before your God. I am the Lord your God. Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Now, Father, we delight in this world of darkness for all instruction that thou hast given. We take the instruction as it was given to the disciples of Christ or to the children of Israel under the guidance of Moses, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And we are here this night and we have read this portion for the profit of the people of God. They are your lambs, they are your sheep, and thy son that happened to be fed. And so look upon us and illumine and empower and cleanse and do all that is necessary to make us love thy word, to make us understand thy word, to make us obey thy word. Hear us, we ask of thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Last week I told you about the guidance of God by sight. When the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, the children of Israel encamped. They could look at it and see it. And when it rose up and went before them, the children of Israel were to journey. This was the direction of God according to sight. But chapter 10 of Numbers gives us the guidance of God, not according to sight, but according to sound. You see, God appeals to our senses. We have to worship God in spirit and in truth, but God, to get to our spirit, must get there through our senses. And this he does by the preaching of the Word of God by various ways. It makes no difference whether it be an object lesson, whether it be words. God somehow has to get into our senses into our understanding through the five senses that he has given. And so in Numbers chapter 9, it is sight. How do I know that I am to stay here? Is the cloud still abiding on the tabernacle? Yes, then you are to stay here. How do I know that I am to go? I'm settled down now. Has the cloud arisen from off the tabernacle and is it moving forward? Yes, then you are to go. This was something that could be seen. As it says in Ephesians, it says, be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And some things are evident. If, as in the Gospel of Luke, we are going down to Jericho, and we see a man that is beaten and half dead, you see him. And the very fact that you see him in his need, you meet that need. The sight tells you so. Because it says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. We see it, and God's word at the same time tells us. And so there are some things that we are guided by God according to sight. It says, if you see your brother in need, and you shut up your compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in you? And so the Lord expects you to look around and see things, and with your own eyes, have understanding. But at the same time, there is a double check. It is not only that you see, but it is corroborated by what you hear. And if you thought you saw the cloud arise and move, but you did not hear the trumpet, you were wrong. And so many people are that way. They do everything according to sight, but they do not corroborate it with the sound. And then there are some who know the word of God, but they are oblivious of what is going on around them. And so God appeals to our senses outwardly, sight and sound. It was a cloud, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night when the children of Israel journeyed and when they encamped. But here is the second witness, which is the silver trumpet. Now, if you ask, what is the significance of the silver trumpet? Well, evidently at that time, they were literal silver trumpets that made a sound. That's evident. Just as when they built the tabernacle, the veil was made of literal fine twined linen. But God interprets that literal fine linen for us in the book of Hebrews, the veil which is his flesh. And so it has a literal meaning, and it has a spiritual meaning as well. And so, for that reason, I want to bring three to your attention to help you understand this, because when the Word of God tells you about water, when it tells you about light, or when it tells you about sound, it is telling you about the same thing, the Word of God. Different properties of the Word of God. When you have water, it speaks about the washing of the water by the Word. And water depicts the Word of God because it has the property of cleansing. And wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And so often in the scriptures, among other things, water symbolizes the word of God. But at the same time, in the holy place, on the south side, we have the candlestick. And that candlestick is the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And I think you remember this morning somebody speaking to you about the Lord Jesus saying, walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. And it says in John chapter 1, I did not tell you about this morning, but it says in John chapter 1, and the light shineth in the darkness. There is a competition. Here is darkness. But darkness needs to be illumined because God sent his Son to overcome the darkness. But at the same time, concerning this light, it says, in the Lord Jesus, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Here is life, the word of God, imparting life to men. And how did he impart that life? Through light. And no one gets saved by the Lord Jesus coming into the world and telling them nothing, explaining nothing to them, but all men are saved because the Lord Jesus shines in their hearts. And when you have the candlestick, this is life, and life illumines, it reveals, it explains, and therefore that is why light depicts the Word of God. And so the Lord Jesus is the light of the world. And so when you have the candlestick, that is light, picturing the Word of God that illumines. When you have water, that is the Word of God, depicting the cleansing power in the Word of God. And when you have the trumpet, this also symbolizes the Word of God because it appeals to assent and makes known the mind of God by sound. You can read the Word of God, but right now, you are not reading it, but you are hearing it spoken. And so when you have trumpets, this is God speaking. You find it over and over again. At Mount Sinai, there was the sound of a trumpet. And when the Lord Jesus was speaking in Revelation chapter 1, his voice was as the sound of a trumpet. And so when you have a trumpet, here is a divine announcement. This is the voice of God. And so understand that inasmuch as a trumpet makes a sound and informs you of what is to be done, your responsibilities, this is the Word of God making known to you the mind of God. And so God speaks to us by sight and by sound. And in Numbers chapter 10, it is according to sound. But now, who cares what a trumpet is made out of? You could make it out of brass. You could make it out of gold. I am familiar with some of the instruments of the orchestra, and I recall that in the Cleveland Orchestra, the man who played the flute had it made of pure gold. But some flutes are made of silver. And you've seen some brass trombones, and you've seen some silver trombones. Now, they do that because of a certain sound that a metal makes. But God doesn't do it according to the sound it makes, but according to what the metal symbolizes. And if you remember, I told you another metal also that conveyed to us God's word being spoken, and that was on the skirt of the high priest's garment. He had a pomegranate and a golden bell. A pomegranate and a golden bell. And notice, here is a bell made of gold, and it makes a sound. And here are two trumpets made of silver, and they make a sound. So why not put on silver bells on the high priest and make the trumpets of silver? Why not have them both the same? Because God is telling us two things. Both of them are the same inasmuch as they make a sound. That is the word of God, God speaking. But when it is of gold, God is telling you the sound that you are listening to is a divine testimony. When it's gold, this is the glory, this is God, this is divine. And therefore, the Word of God is breathed of God. All Scripture is inspired of God. And so when this high priest made a sound, the sound that that high priest made represented the Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed God. And he was God who entered into the presence of his Father and who came out of the presence of his Father. And so when someone says, your words are nothing but the words of a man, you must understand that the sound that the Lord Jesus made, that pomegranate and a golden bell, it was a divine sound. And I don't know if I ever told you about the significance of silver, but silver also has a significance. And whenever the children of Israel were to ransom their souls, they were to do it with a half shekel silver. And it says in the book of Exodus that all of the silver that was gathered to be used in the tabernacle, among the uses for that silver, it was to rest the socket. The pillars rested in the socket of silver, and it rested upon the ransom money or the redemption money. I will use that word even though in Exodus it is the money that is given for the ransom of your soul, but we are redeemed. And think of it now in 1 Peter chapter 1. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with silver or gold, but specifically in the Old Testament, the ransom money was silver, a half shekel. And so here is a trumpet, and this time it is not made of gold. You say, well, that's exactly what it should be made of. It should be made of gold because it's a divine testimony. Ah, yes, but this trumpet is made of silver, which is a redeemer's testimony. This is the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. The Lord Jesus said in John chapter 5:24, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me. And it may very well be that these two trumpets represent the voice of the Father and the voice of the Son. Did I not tell you last week that the Lord Jesus said, have faith in God, have faith in me also. The Lord Jesus said, what God the Father tells you, believe it, and what I tell you, believe it. And so here we have trumpets of silver, and if gold is divine testimony, then the silver is the Redeemer's testimony. Now, there are two trumpets, and I say they may, please understand that I'm just suggesting these things to you. If you know of any better symbolism, that is fine, that I'm suggesting it, and it will not violate other things in the Scripture when I tell you what I believe it symbolizes for this reason. I make sure that if I give you a symbol and the symbol is incorrect, at least that truth is taught somewhere else in the Word of God. And I've shown you that the Father speaks and the Son speaks. And the Father says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Father points to the Lord Jesus and he says, hear you him. And so we have two trumpets, but it may simply be this, that in the mouth of two witnesses or three, let every word be established. And so here is the word of God, not a single testimony uncorroborated by someone else. And that's why I perhaps think that it is the Father and the Son. And the Lord Jesus, when he is accused of speaking in a way that is unworthy to be trusted, he said, I bear witness of myself, and my Father bears witness of me. In the mouth of two witnesses, my Father and I. And so we have two trumpets here. And so what Christ says, it is what the Father says. In the Old Testament, if it were written and it was not to be changed, you see, at times, things in the Old Testament were brought to an end because the Lord Jesus was the Lamb of God that took away the sin of the world. And therefore, the Lord Jesus did not tell them after he had taken away the sin of the world to continue to do what the Father told them to do in the Old Testament. But if there were any principle in the Old Testament that the Father laid down, such as honor thy father and thy mother, the Lord Jesus Christ corroborated with his own testimony that that was the responsibility of man. And then I've already told you how the Father said, this is my beloved Son on the Mount of Transfiguration. Hear ye him. And the Lord Jesus said no less than 10 times in John's Gospel, my words are not mine, but his that sent me. And so here is the testimony. The Old Testament corroborated by the New Testament. The Father and the Son corroborating one another's words. And again, the beautiful King James Version has done something that will confuse you, because you notice that these trumpets were made of beaten work, but as I recall looking at the King James, it was translated differently. But if you read about the making of the candlestick, it is made of beaten work, and this is the same word that is used with the candlestick, and it's the same word is used for the making of the candlestick, it is used for the making of the silver trumpet. And so you think of that. Isn't that significant? Here is the silver trumpet, a beaten work, and that is a symbol of the Word of God. And here is the candlestick made of beaten work, of gold, you see again. What is this light that is shining? It is light coming from a golden candlestick, which is divine testimony. And what is the sound coming from these trumpets? Silver trumpets, the Redeemer's testimony, but both of them are beaten work. And some of the older brethren have seen in this why, of course, they come from beaten work. A Savior that is beaten and bruised and wounded for our transgressions. And so here is God speaking about two kinds of sound. A sound of divine testimony in the golden bell, the pomegranate, the golden bell. And here are the two silver trumpets. And God says, yes, I want you to see, but at the same time, I want you to hear. You see how God ensures the accuracy of our interpretation of the things that we say are of God. Because I hear so many people saying, this is of God. God is leading in this direction. But you look at it carefully, and you see that it cannot be God leading in this direction. Because the cloud, the sight, does not agree with the sound, the silver trumpet. And so here is the double agreement, so that we cannot mistake. And so if the Israelites ever went astray, whose fault would it be? You say, well, unless he were blind and deaf, it would be his own fault. Why, of course. But the Lord Jesus said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And our eyes were blind, but the light shined, and God illumining us, we believed on the light, and now we see. Thank God, once I was blind, but the light shined, and now I see. And thank God, once I did have deaf ears, but the sound of the Word of God empowered by the Spirit fell upon my ears, and I heard. And now I'm able to hear the trumpet, and I'm able to see the movement of God. And this is what the Lord wants you to know. A sinner without Christ coming. This is what I emphasize again. If the sinner could only see it, as this morning in John chapter 12, the Lord Jesus said, walk while you have the light, because it's going to be with you only a little while. He said, walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He that walketh in the darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And here is poor, unregenerate man trying to save himself and trying to discover the way of salvation. Impossible without the illumination of God. God revealing his Son, God by his Holy Spirit convicting of sin and righteousness and judgment, man is powerless. But what is so delightful is that when God does work upon us, we who are blind are able to see. The Savior said, while you have the light, walk in the light. Now notice, if he says, while you have the light, walk in the light, that you may become sons of light, then while I'm walking in the light, God is empowering me as a blind man to see. And then if I say yes to the light I see, I become a son of light. Remarkable. The Lord Jesus said, the hour is coming, and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And so God enables spiritually dead people to hear, and if they hear, then they live. This is what God does. He enables, when he convicts and sends the Spirit of God upon them, he enables blind people to see, and during that period, they can believe on the Son. And the Lord Jesus said, while you have the light, believe on the light. You can't become a son of light unless you have the light. When God is working upon a man, but when he's working upon a man, you can believe on the light. But we found out also in John chapter 12, though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. And so some were able, because Christ was saying, believe on the light that you may become sons of light. The light is shining, and sinners at that time can see, and sinners, when God's Spirit works, can hear. And if they hearken, then they become children of God. And so here are the silver trumpets, And these trumpets depict the Lord Jesus Christ giving instruction, but it is no longer simply sound, but we have something more articulate than sound. In chapter 9, it was sight, but for two specific things. The only thing they knew was this, that when the cloud abode upon the tabernacle, they were to encamp. That's all. And when the cloud arose and went forward, they were to march. That's all that it told them. But now, these trumpets are more specific, because there are no less than four things that are told us as to the use of these trumpets. He said, when I want you to assemble yourselves together at the door of the tent of meeting, I will have the trumpet blown. When the princes are to come, I will have the trumpet blown. When you are to take your journeys, I will have the trumpet blown. When you are going to war, I will have the trumpet blown. And when you have feast days, I will have the trumpet blown. Now, do you see how an advance is made? Under the sight, only when you go forward and when you stop. But now that I'm here, what am I to do? God says, I'm blowing the trumpet because it's the beginning of the month. I'm blowing the trumpet because it's the feast of trumpet. Do you understand how God is progressively giving us more and more illumination? At times, it is enough. At least I can stand still and go forward, but now it is becoming more articulate. I know when to go to war, and I know when to stay in my tent because I'm not one of the princes of Israel, and I know when the feast begins because the trumpet is blowing, it's giving a distinct sound. But now in the New Testament, we have something more distinct still. And so God's word is a progressive revelation. He does not tell us everything at once, but over the years, he tells us more and more and more. And now the Holy Spirit has come and has guided into all truth, and we have the full revelation, the entire inspired word of God. But now I told you that these trumpets were to make sounds, but they did not make sounds of themselves. They were to be blown, not by any talented member of the tribe of Judah or Simeon, but they were to be blown by the Son of Aaron. And the sad thing today, it may be good, it may be sad, is that anybody can go and buy radio time and start preaching. Because if these trumpets are the words of God, God speaking, then the sons of Aaron had to be taught exactly what notes to play to cause the people to assemble, to get ready for war, to prepare for the feast. And so because of this, the sons of Aaron had to know what the notes meant. And with notes, they told people what to do. And yet today, anybody can get up and preach and say anything they want, and they say, I'm blowing the silver trumpet. They're not blowing the silver trumpet unless that trumpet is made of silver, of beaten work, and it is the very word that came from the lips of the Savior. Are you preaching the Redeemer's word, or are these your own opinions? This is the strange thing. And so not any of the children of Israel could speak. And yet today it seems as if any child of God can stand up and speak. That's not good, because not everyone is gifted to speak. Everyone is a priest and can stand up and pray to God and praise God. But the Lord Jesus, when he ascended on high, led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men, and these are specific, and they are arbitrary, and they are limited. Now, if God has given you the ability spiritually to blow the trumpet, by all means do it. But if not, it would be just as much an intrusion for a man who is not gifted of God to try to speak as it would for one of the tribe of Judah to come over and say to one of Aaron's sons, I think I'm going to blow the trumpet for you today. Oh no. Some of the kings tried to go in and offer incense as well. But there were specific people, and these are God's people blowing God's trumpet. Now, please notice that there were words to the law, but these trumpets are made of silver because they are blowing out messages coming from one who redeemed us not with silver, but with his precious blood, but a price was paid. But these trumpets are giving out a message from a Redeemer to redeem people. Because God has one message for the lost, and he has another message for the saved. And his message to you, sinner, is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And then after you are saved, then I will tell you about a golden bell and a pomegranate, and I will tell you about the two trumpets. But there is no purpose, and God never calls you to come and celebrate his feast. What fellowship hath light with darkness? Absolutely none. And yet the world says, well, God is calling me. God is not calling you if you are a sinner. If you are a Christian, yes, he calls you. And I will simply mention this. Notice the four things. We are assembling together. And so there are times when God wants all of his people to assemble together, to gather unto Moses at the door of the tabernacle. I won't go into all of this. I cannot pinpoint it exactly for you, but I do tell you this, that there are gatherings together unto him. And you cannot help but think of Moses representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and the trumpet blow, and they gather together unto him at the door of the tent of meeting. And then also, there is the alarm when we go out to war. And so at times, we gather together unto Moses, and at times, an alarm is sound, and we go out to fight the good fight of faith. There are times when the trumpet says, go. And there are times when the trumpet blows, and it says, come. And so let us not be those who are always gathering to the Lord, but not going out to battle for the Lord, because the trumpet did not make one sound calling people together, but it also made other sounds dispersing people to go and fight against the enemy. And I'm afraid that that is one of my shortcomings. I would like the sinners to get saved, but I confess that if I have a handful of Christians who will come and study God's Word with me and remember the Lord Jesus with me, I'm so happy. But you need the evangelist that says, we have to go out. We have to go and save sinners. And Christ did say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so just remember that the message of the trumpet was, gather together, yes, but also go out, disperse. And two other things. It says that concerning the feast, and concerning their glad days, and concerning the blowing of trumpets over their burnt offerings and over their peace offerings. And so here are sounds of the Word of God at every conceivable time and place and purpose. Never forget that. If these trumpets are God's Word, well then, they are blown when God's people come together. Then, I'm not to be dictated to according to the thoughts of men, but these trumpets made the sound. The Redeemer's words telling me when I am to gather and when I am not to gather. And for me to gather in a fashion or at a time when the trumpets did not tell me to do so would be presumption. And at the same time, for the cloud to move forward and for me to stay in place, why, that would be disobedience. Or for me to go forward when the cloud was in place, that would be presumption. And in like manner, the trumpet gives a message. And that is why, when God tells you how to be saved, after you are saved, he tells you about assembling and going forth. He tells you about peace. He tells you about sacrifices. But notice, in all of these cases, the trumpets are blown no matter what the occasion is. And so our movements are dictated by the Word of God, but not only that. Whenever we are worshiping God, it says the trumpets are to be blown. What does that mean? It means that just as we came together tonight to remember the Lord, we have a gathering together, and we were remembering the Savior, and when God's Word was read, and when God was worshiped, then the trumpets were sounding over our burnt offering and over our peace. And one other thing, I told you that these trumpets are made to call the children of Israel together, the assembly. I'll just mention two, and you may pursue it if you will at a later time. In Leviticus 23 and in Leviticus chapter 25, we have the trumpets blown on two specific occasions. Now, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, that is the feast of the blowing trumpet. But at the same time, in the seventh month, on the tenth day, that's the Day of Atonement, the trumpets are also blown on that day, once every 50 years. You would say, well, why did they not blow it on the first? For the simple reason that in the seventh month, on the first day, it is blown, it's called the Feast of Trumpets, and if I interpret the seven feasts correctly, this is God in the coming days calling together again the outcasts of Israel, calling that remnant to their own holy land, and in due time they shall look on him whom they have pierced. How do I know that? Because after you have the blowing of trumpets in the first day of the seventh month, then you have the great Day of Atonement on the tenth day, when every man shall afflict his soul. That is why the trumpet blows, and the people come, and then the Feast of Atonement, which speaks of the redemption of Israel, that takes place next. And then it blows again in the year of Jubilee, the year of freedom. And notice, it blows that day, the trumpet blows, not in the seventh month, the first day, but the seventh month, the tenth day, when the Feast of Atonement is taking place. And so on the basis of the atonement of Jesus Christ, Israel is set free. They return to their land, and all that they lost is restored again to them in virtue of that one who is that atonement, our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all announced and proclaimed by these silver trumpets. God guides us by sight and by sound. Look and listen. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are so glad that you have not only shined upon us the first time, but you have told us that your Son is the light of the world, and if we follow him, we shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Or we shall have the sound of the trumpet to guide us through life. We are so thankful, our God, for salvation that you would think of us at all. But we are so glad that until you come back, as we go through life down here, you have guidance for us for every purpose and every place and for every occasion. We are so thankful for this. And so let us be those who, having been redeemed, who now have eyes and ears that can see and hear, may we see and hear, and may we be obedient to the word of God when it's spoken by the priests of God. Bless us to this end, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And